Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So in the next few moments, I want to just quickly go through several benefits of fasting, because the scripture has all kinds of stories about people who fasted and what God did. And we don't have time to cover every one of them, but I want you to understand some things about fasting. And fasting brings God's power into our situation. Number one, it humbles our soul. I don't think oftentimes we think of the importance of walking in humility, not only with other people, but especially with God. The Bible's very clear. God resists the proud. It's as if literally in the original, it's like God holds his hand up. He holds people who are proud back, but he gives grace to the humble. And fasting humbles us before God. Because you see, here's the way it works. We can easily fall into the trap of depending on ourselves, the best we can do, our ideas, our creativity, our effort, our energy. And at times what we do is we pray and we say, God, help us. But when he doesn't, we just think, well, that's okay. We'll figure it out ourselves. Not realizing the pride that is behind that kind of thinking, that somehow we don't need God to help us. We can just do it. In fasting, we're reminding our physical body and our mind that we need God's help. It's a fantastic story in the book of Ezra, chapter 8. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast. This is Ezra, teacher of God's word. So that we might humble ourselves before God. Before he ever asks God to do something for him, he wants to make sure he's right with God. This is the first thing that needs to happen in a fast. To say, God, is there something that's not right in my life? When God calls the land to fast, if my people, which are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. A lot of times people say, well, I don't have any wicked ways. You get close to the presence of God and God will start pointing out things that he wants to do in your life, things that are keeping you from experiencing the fullness of his blessing. And so what happens is we humble ourselves first. And that opens us up to a lot of realities in terms of God's wisdom, God's direction, God's working in our lives. I think especially it opens us up not only to walking in a greater purity with the Lord, but it causes us to walk in a greater dependency on the Lord. And that is the key to receiving from God. Humble ourselves before God. Ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. Their possessions, incidentally, they're carrying back the gold from the temple, the silver from the temple, and I think the gold, I've got it in the next verse, is like $160 million in gold and almost $16 million in silver. And watch what happens. We were ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us. So here they have all this gold, all this silver, and they're not asking for protection because what had happened is from the enemies on the road, because we told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this. And he answered our prayer. Ezra was saying, I'd rather have the angels of God protect me than the king's soldiers protect me. I think I'll do better watching over $160 million $160 million in gold with angels than I will with the king's men. It's an amazing faith statement. So we fasted, petitioned God about this, and he answered our prayer. So it's an amazing thing. Fasting humbles us and brings God's help. The psalmist says this, Psalm 35, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with prayer and fasting. You know, listen, when we begin to fast and call on God, don't be surprised if God maybe asks you to apologize to somebody, if God maybe asks you to make something right with somebody, if God asks you to do things with interpersonal relationships that may even seem unrelated to the situation or the circumstance, or may very well be related to it. But he asks you to make it right. He asks you to humble yourself. He asks you to ask for forgiveness. He asks you to walk in a humility of spirit. One construction business owner wrote this: some of the owners and developers I work with are very demanding. One called me on the phone and yelled, "You guys are fired." He wasn't going to pay for the $50,000 worth of work we'd already done. Not only that, he said he was going to sue me to put his building back the way it was. The whole situation put us in a really bad place as a company, so we began seeking God in prayer. My pastor suggested that I try fasting, which I don't like because it means skipping eating and replacing it with praying. He's got it. I was so desperate, I decided to try it. As we prayed and fasted, I felt like God wanted me to humble myself. I didn't know what God meant, but I felt like I was to call the owner. So I got him on the phone, and he grudgingly agreed to meet face to face. As I drove over, I was praying for God to show me what to do. I walked in to find him still mad, yelling and cussing. When we sat down, I told him, "I'm here to say I'm sorry for whatever miscommunication we had and whatever part my company played. I'd like to do the job, but I'd like to first tell you I'm sorry." There was complete silence in the room. Then the owner said, "I never wanted to fire you. I got upset. I want you to do the job, and I appreciate you coming in here." That day, he offered a contract for my company to do an additional $3 million job. It never would have happened if I had not humbled myself with fasting and prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Fasting humbles us. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, he'll exalt you. Fasting is a wonderful way to humble yourself. Let me give you a second benefit. Fasting secures favor in situations. In Nehemiah chapter 1, it says, here's Nehemiah, and he's a cupbearer to the king, which is not a butler. A cupbearer would be a personal advisor. He'd probably be, of all the people in the government, closest to the king relationally. And Nehemiah hears that Jerusalem, his home city, Nehemiah is in Persia serving the king of Persia, the most powerful ruler in the world of his time. And he hears about his hometown, Jerusalem, that it's in rubble, the gates have been burned, the walls have been torn down. And he says, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. What is he fasting and praying for? He's going to ask this most powerful person in the world of his time to do three things. He's going to ask the king to reverse 20 years of foreign policy that said Jerusalem was never to be rebuilt. He's going to ask the king to let him go. He's going to say, "Listen, I love being your personal advisor, but I'm asking you to send me and to make me the governor of that land." And then the last thing he's going to say, he's going to ask him to pay for everything. Nehemiah needed God's favor. Because in that day, if you came into the presence of the king and you just looked sad, and the king noticed that, he had a way of dealing with your personal sadness. And it wasn't counseling. He just cut off your head, and then your sadness would be gone. So nobody had the right to ever make the king sad. This is true. So what he's going to do is he's not only looking sad in the presence of the king, but look at this in verse 11. "Oh, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant." This is what he's fasting for. "And to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. Do you realize fasting can give you favor with people? And Nehemiah goes in, the king hears him out, and the king says two thumbs up to everything that Nehemiah wants to do. That's the amazing thing about fasting. It can give you favor with people you've never met before. I've told this story before, but I think it's just such an amazing story. We were in Kansas City. We were getting ready to buy a piece of ground, the land. We needed $100,000 in 30 days. We had about 35 people in the church. The offerings were probably less than $1,000 every week. So I was seeking the Lord, and God put on my heart a businessman, a Christian. I did not know him. I had never met him personally. But I called his office and asked for a breakfast appointment with him. I had 12 days between the time of my call and the time of the appointment, and for the next 12 days, I fasted and prayed because what I was going to do was ask the man I'd never met before to give us $100,000. It'd be like asking somebody for $250,000 today. I can remember sitting down with him, and I can remember just exchanging, you know, some pleasantries, and then him asking what I wanted, and a little like Nehemiah, just took a deep breath, prayed, Lord, help me, and I just put it out there. Long story short, what the man said to me is he said, well, don't you think your people should do whatever they can do? And I said, well, we're going to do that this Sunday. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, what do you think you'll get? I said, I don't think I'm going to get a lot, but if I got $5,000, $10,000, that would be amazing. He said, well, why don't you see what the people will do and whatever they don't do? Here's my phone number. Call me Sunday afternoon. I'll write you a check for the balance. Fasting gives you favor. In fact, you know the favor in that situation that God gave me is the people gave $95,000. I was shocked. I would never believe that. And he wrote me a check for $5,000. Fasting changes everything. Fasting helps us discern God's will. Fasting can help us to know God's plan, what God is doing, where God is leading. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. So Daniel has this vision. It's so disturbing that he can't understand it. He knows it's got a meaning. He wants to know what that is. And so what does he do when he doesn't understand the future? He fasts. When he wants to know what he needs to do, he fasts. And so what does he do? He mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice or desirable food. So this is why it's called a Daniel fast. 21 days of eating undesirable food. That's a Daniel's fast. No meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day, so we fast for 3 weeks. See, this is the thing. We could fast for 21 days. You might not get your answer. You might say, well, what's up with that? I fasted. I mean, I did everything I needed to do. I didn't get an answer. Look at Daniel. 3 days after the 21 days, he said, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river Tigris. Look at it in verse 10. He says, a hand touched me, an angel appears to him. He faints. The angel touches him, sets him trembling on his hands and knees. And then here's what the angel said. Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. So here he is fasting for an answer, fasting about the future, and God sends the answer by way of an angel. But I want to point out something interesting to you. In verse 3, I ate no choice, and you could translate that word desirable or precious food. In verse 11, the angel says, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, which again, that word could be translated, it's the same word as choice. Translated different in English. In the Hebrew, it's the same word. You could read it this way. I ate no precious food, and I became the man viewed as very precious to God. Listen, God sees. God cares. God values every single second. that you and I express devotion to him. Don't ever think it escapes his notice. And when you and I fast, heaven takes notice, but God sends an answer. What was Daniel needing? He was needing understanding. He was needing discernment regarding the future. What did he do? He fasted. And look at it in verse 12. Then he, the angel, continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding," watch this, "and humble yourself," there it is again. If you don't really go to the Lord and say, "God, I am desperate for you, and this is a problem I cannot solve without you. And God, if there is something in my life that's not right, show me. I want to be right with you. Lord, I know I'm not a perfect person, but help me to deal with the things in my life that aren't right, that I might be right with you." That's what humbling yourself is. And do you realize the first day he started praying, heaven took notice. But it took 24 days for the answer. Why? Because there was a spiritual battle that Daniel couldn't see, but was happening nonetheless, that the Bible tells us about. But he says, "You set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God. Your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. I'm going to give you understanding. I'm going to give you discernment." You know, see, here's the thing. Some of you are getting ready. You're thinking about switching jobs. You need discernment. I don't care what the offer looks like. You better get God's discernment. There might be things you don't know, or it might be perfect. Either way, you're gonna be glad you sought God about it. Some of you are getting ready to start a business, sell a business. You need discernment. Some of you are thinking about where to go to school. You need discernment. Some of you are thinking about choosing a mate. You need discernment. Some of you are thinking about taking a loan. You need discernment. Some of you are buying a house, selling a house, buying a car, selling a car. You need discernment. Fasting gives you discernment, gives you understanding. Number four, fasting gives us power to break demonic strongholds. You know, here's the fact of the matter. Paul tells us this in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in the heavenly realms. You know, that problem with your neighbor might not just be your neighbor. It might be the enemy exacerbating things. That problem at work might not be with your boss, might not be with your coworker, might not be with your employee. It might be the enemy that's stirring the pot. That problem at home might not be with the family member. It might be the enemy seizing the opportunity is attacking you and your family. And you cannot meet a spiritual battle by natural means. If you're going to fight a supernatural battle, you got to have supernatural weapons. Fasting is a supernatural weapon. Matthew chapter 17, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's got Peter, James, and John with him, and the rest of the disciples are down below, and a father comes up to those disciples. He says, "My son's demonized." The demon tries to throw him into the fire, tries to kill him. He's got epilepsy, which that's not to say being demonized and having epilepsy is synonymous. Just in this case, it was caused by an evil spirit. And the father asked the disciples to pray for his son to be healed. And the disciples are happy to do it. Why? Because they've cast out demons before. They've done this before. And so they're like, "Yeah, we're happy to pray." The only problem was they could not cast the demon out. Jesus comes down from the mountain. He casts the demon out. He heals the boy. And the disciples later come to him and say, "Jesus, why couldn't we do it?" See, sometimes people think they have faith when they really don't have faith. Now listen, I'm not here to make anybody feel condemned, and I'm not here to salt your mind with 10,000 questions. I'm just simply teaching you a scriptural reality that we all have to be aware of. Sometimes what we think is faith is not faith at all. Because Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea," and it will happen. They thought they had the faith to cast the demon out. Jesus tells them, you have so little faith, and all they needed was a little speck, a mustard seed of faith. So sometimes that's why things don't happen. And I'm going to suggest to you, fasting can strengthen your faith. A second thing that would happen is they haven't been fasting. Listen, sometimes the problems are bigger than our faith. And the time we spend with Jesus through fasting will do two things for us, aside from strengthening our faith. It will help us to, on a greater level, wield spiritual power. You start fasting, and you will automatically have a more powerful life spiritually. It's true. You say, how can I get more spiritual power? Fast. It will also increase your authority over demonic powers. I mean, this is what Jesus is saying. He says this, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You know, sometimes there's just a demonic element in the situations that we face, and it doesn't have to be with people. It can be with circumstances, situations. And fasting strengthens our faith. It gives us spiritual empowerment we would not have otherwise, and it gives us authority over the powers of darkness. It increases that. There are some of you here today, and you're dealing with a stronghold. And by that, I mean, it's something that just doesn't go away in your life. And you think you're free, only to find out you're not free. And it's this cycle that repeats itself in your life. For some of you, it's personal insecurity. All of your life, you've struggled with this sense that you're not as good, and that you just feel, you're actually just consumed with feeling inadequate. And I would suggest that, not in every case, but in some cases, that is exacerbated by demonic power who sees a weakness in you in that area and then tries to work against you because of that. Because that's what the enemy does. Any one of us where we're weak, he's going to work on that area. For others, it could be your past. Some of you are adults and you're still trying to overcome a childhood that was less than it should have been. And no matter what you do, I mean, you've seen a counselor, and I'm all for counseling, and many times that can help. But sometimes there is a spiritual bondage that the enemy has enacted on an area of your life, and fasting will break that. We could go on. We could talk about anxiety. We could talk about sensuality. We could talk about anger. We could talk about forgiveness. We could talk about bitterness. We could talk about all kinds of things. But if there's a recurring issue in your life and you can't seem to get by it or past it on a long-term basis, then fasting is a great way to break that yoke of bondage. I like what Bill Bright, he's the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, one of the greatest collegiate movements of the last century. He wrote this, I believe the power of fasting as it relates to prayer is the spiritual atomic bomb that our Lord has given to us to destroy the strongholds of evil and usher in a great revival and spiritual harvest around the world. I love this. Fasting is a spiritual atomic bomb. You got a problem and you're like, enemy, get ready. I am going to nuke you with my fasting and praying. That's what it is, like dropping the atomic bomb right on them. I'm going to obliterate your work in my life. By fasting, by prayer, it does that. It breaks the stronghold of the enemy. Number five, fasting prepares us for new seasons of life. You know, Moses fasted 40 days before he received the law. Elijah fasted 40 days before he transitioned to turning the ministry over to Elisha. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the desert before beginning his earthly ministry. Paul fasted before he started his ministry. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I just want to say, when you're fasting, what happens is day one, you're thinking about the hunger. It's a tough deal. God may speak to you on day one, but I'm just telling you, God will speak. You will find that you are more sensitive to his voice because you're inclining, you're leaning your ear in to hear, your ear in to hear what he has to say. And God talks to the person who's listening. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work, or Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. And it's the beginning of global missions. All that to say, some of you are at a starting point, a new season in your life. If you're going away to college, it'd be a great time for you to fast. If you're starting a new, you know, you're getting ready for your senior year in high school, that's a big year. Great time to fast. You're going to make some decisions this year. Great time to fast. If you're getting married, what a great time to set aside time in the midst of all the preparation and say, you know what? God's first and we want his blessing and we want to hear his voice and we're entering a new season. We're going to fast and pray. If you're starting a new business, fast and pray. If you're becoming an empty nester, fast and pray. If you're taking a new job, fast and pray. One of the best things you could do is to walk into that job prayed up because you fasted and you prayed and the hand of God will rest upon you and give you favor. Fasting prepares us for new seasons of life. Number six, fasting can bring healing. Isaiah 58 is a chapter on healing. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. It's a chapter on fasting. And one of the benefits of fasting in Isaiah 58 is, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Fasting can bring healing. It can heal you of things medicine cannot. 2017, I had a stroke. I was on the steps of the Vatican. I was leading a tour. In the weeks that followed, I developed postural orthostatic tachycardia. It's known as POTS. Went to the Mayo Clinic. They did their big evaluation. Here's what the Mayo said to me. They said this. At this point, I was probably weighed 45 pounds less than I weigh right now. If you look back through some of the pictures, you remember that. And I'm in bed all the time. There's times I'm laying on my kitchen floor calling the boys saying, I think you need to come over here just to be here because I wasn't sure if my heart was going to race out and stop. He said, well, dumb, why didn't you go to the hospital? Because I was like, it's probably going to pass. And it always did. One time after service, I was behind the curtain. When the doctors in the congregation called me the next day because he had seen me, he said, do you realize you're playing with fire? Do you realize that you went almost 20 minutes? In 30 minutes, you're dead. The Mayo Clinic said, listen, there's nothing we can do for you. We have no cure for this. A third of the people with this condition retire. A third of the people try to gut it out, but life's really hard. And a third of the people are healed, and we can't tell you why. So we went through this for a while, and then on a Sunday morning, I started to have this racing heart. I knew what was happening. I was trying to stop it, ignore it. I look over to where my sons are sitting. Brandon brings me a Kleenex. I'm like, no, I don't need more than the Kleenex. I need you to preach. And I go back behind the curtain and have another episode. And after those episodes, like you're like wiped for 5 days. A guy in North Carolina, somebody in the congregation, told a pastor in North Carolina who has a prophetic ministry. He said, this is an attack of the enemy. And it's caused by an evil spirit. And if pastor will have people close to him fast and pray for 30 days, the power of the enemy will be broken and he'll be healed. I was like, well, hey, I got nothing to lose. Let's do it. So I got people to fast and pray for me. I did not count the days down. I'm just not wired that way. I'm just like, hey, when God does it, I'll know it. But later I looked, and on the 30th day when I woke up, I was different. I was healed. I've never had a problem since. Fasting brought healing. Family, we shared the testimony of the boy with autism, young man with autism. You know what the family did? The family, after the week of power, when their son was not healed, said, we're going to fast and pray. And they fasted and prayed for a year, regularly every week, fasted 3 days a week for their son's healing. 1 year later, he was completely healed. We showed you the medical reports. I'm just saying, fasting will take you where nothing else will. It's not the end all be all, but it's certainly a tool in the toolbox. Number seven, fasting gets God's attention. You want to get God's attention? You want God to notice what's happening in your life? You say, well, I think he notices everybody. He does. But not everybody has the same favor of God on their life. You and I have to admit that, right? Some people have favor, and then some people have extraordinary favor, and some people don't seem to have hardly any favor. And what it all comes down to is, as you and I, the closer we get to God, draw close to me, he says, and I'll draw close to you. And look at this in Acts chapter 10. Very interesting story on fasting. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion in what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household. So this is a man who is not a born-again Christian, but he's aware of God. He's a God worshiper who gave alms generously to people. That's alms would be giving to the poor. And prayed to God always. And I put fasting in there because later we're going to see in verse 30, he fasts. Look at it. So Cornelius, so now he's praying. An angel appears to him, tells him to send for Simon Peter. And Peter comes to the house and Cornelius meets him and says, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my home and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Do you realize this? He fasts for 4 days and now all of a sudden he's seen an angel. He fasts for 4 days and now all of a sudden, not only is he seeing an angel, but the angel's giving him directions on what he needs to do. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. When you fast, the scripture's clear. Fasting and answered prayer go together. I'm not saying you can't pray a regular prayer and be answered. We all hopefully have had that experience, but there's something about when you and I fast that it fast tracks God's work in our life. Your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. I love the way verse 4 puts it. It says your prayers and your alms have become a memorial before God. It's just like there's this memorial that is before God. You say, well, does God really need a memorial? No, what it's saying is God has taken special notice of your faithfulness because you fasted, God is going to work. And God works in this. Think of this. I made a list of 5 things that happened because one man fasted 4 days. You see, here's the thing. A lot of times we're fasting for one thing, but God knows we need a whole lot of other things. God sees the big picture. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, Ephesians 3:20. God's got things on his heart you haven't even thought of. But when you begin to fast, he's not only gonna answer your prayer, but he's gonna do a host of things in addition that you needed done in your life. Watch this. Cornelius saw an angel because he was fasting. Peter had a vision because Cornelius was fasting. Cornelius, his family, and his friends heard the gospel and were saved because he was fasting. Watch this. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit because he was fasting. It was the beginning of Gentiles, people who were non-Jewish, hearing the gospel. All because one man does a 4-day fast. Think, it changes the history of the world. Changes the history of the world. It changes the eternal destiny of his family. It changes the direction of an apostle's ministry. One man fasts 4 hours, everything changes. Why is that written there? Because God wants you and I to know when you fast, things happen. Things that you need to happen, things you never thought of that you need to happen. God not only works in your situation, but he's going to work in Peter's situation. He's going to work in the friend's situation. He's going to work in the world situation because one man fasted 4 days. Fasting makes a difference. Finally, I close with this. Fasting gives us a greater awareness of God's presence. When you begin to fast, here's what's going to happen. Every time there's a hunger pain, just say, I'm fasting because I want God. And I am, every hunger pain is a reminder to pray for the things that you need from Him. And you say, God, I'd rather have you in your answer, in your work, than to have food in my stomach and feel good for a couple hours. I'm in this to win it. I'm in this to pursue you. And I just want to encourage you to have that kind of mentality. And then along the way, to look for the presence of God to meet you. You might go a day, you might go 2 days, you might go 3 days and say, you know, I just felt hungry more than I felt God. But then watch out, because you're going to see God start to work in a way where God's going to meet you. And I would suggest to you this, just by way of observation, that the first 2 days invariably are the worst 2 days. They're the hardest 2 days. Third day, depending on your situation, could be difficult. But after day four, after day three, your stomach no longer is hungry in the same way, and it is easier. Then you're kind of in this really wonderful place where fasting is a whole lot easier to do. Plus, you have now 3 days of seeking God at mealtime. And what happens is you go into His presence and you feel His presence just like that. In fact, I can tell this. Say this to you, once you get in that zone, you almost hate to quit fasting because you're like, man, this presence, this proximity to His presence is so real and is so wonderful. I just don't want to stop. Isaiah says this in that chapter 58. Here's what happens when you fast. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. In other words, it's going to be a new day for you. Some of you, you know internally you need a new day spiritually in your walk with God. Others, you need a new day relationally in your marriage. Some of you need just a new season in your life, kind of a reset, if you would. That's what fasting does. Your healing will quickly appear. Your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. It's God's way of saying, I'll have your back. What could be better than God's glory covering you and guarding you? Now watch. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Some of you are saying, I just don't feel like God answers my prayer. Here's your great opportunity. Fast and watch what God will do as you start praying. Watch what He's going to do. I've never fasted without seeing God work. Sometimes immediately, sometimes during the fast, sometimes at the end of the fast, sometimes it might be weeks after the fast, but I've never fasted without seeing God work. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and He will say, I'm over here. I'm right here. I'm right beside you. Just right now, God is that close to you. Listen, these 21 days are days to draw close to God, to see God do the impossible in your life, the circumstances of your life, in this church. And I believe with all of my heart He's going to do it. You can tell I'm excited. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in all of our lives as we fast and pray.